game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H, Undertaker, I'm the maker, bury the brother like Kane, ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the chokeslam on face, yeah, ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, tell like I'm Tommaso, if you suck with like tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple models, ooh, and you may call me HBK, when I'm tuning up the fame, you best be getting in my way, ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it, if you wait, done with that, then I got two words for you, suck it, too sweet, put your fangs up.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Happy WrestleMania week, everybody. Like, normally we wouldn't say happy WrestleMania week because it's American and we're an Australian podcast, but there are so many Aussies representing Australia. Yeah, there's so many Aussies representing Australia in WWE, WrestleMania week, NXT, WWE, for real. It's sort of the same thing, but you know what I mean. That I thought, happy WrestleMania week. We just watched, as of recording this, I've watched night two. When I recorded the interview that I've just done with Tommy Knight, I recorded that yesterday. So we've just watched night one where Bronson Reed won to go through to face Johnny Gargano. Unfortunately, did not beat Johnny Gargano for the North American title, but that's okay. That's fine. What that means right now, though, is that Bronson Reed's name is in contention for every title in NXT. His name now is something where people go, that dude can win it. Now he's been exposed on a pay-per-view level. He's up there now. There's every chance now that he can eventually walk away with that North American belt or even walk away with the NXT title, which is amazing. Indy Hartwell did not win the women's NXT tag team championships with Candice. Again, unfortunate, but again, those two in contention for that title at any time. So that's great to see. Still got coming up. We've got Rhea Ripley against Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. So that's going to be good. And also Peyton Royce is going to be in contention for the women's tag with, I don't know who yet. There's a whole up in there. Who knows? Could we see the Iconics get back together? That would be amazing if we could. We'll all see, I guess, over the next couple of days here, because this is hopefully going to go up on Friday night. So, yeah, next couple of days, WrestleMania. Can't wait for it, actually. I know the build-up hasn't been exactly huge for it, but as the week has gone on, my anticipation for it has built more and more, and now I'm ready. I'm really ready to see. I'll be honest with you, I just want to see Rhea Ripley win the Raw Women's title. That's what I want to see. That's my girl. My girl. Anyway, enough fawning over my girl. Guest this week, Tommy Knight. Great guy. Basically what happened is Wrestle Rampage we're going to lose Jonah Rock, Bronson Reed. We need someone that's a big dude, like strong guy that can wrestle his ass. There's Tommy. We'll put Tommy in that spot. Tommy Knight. He's unbelievable, Wes. He's got such a big future ahead of him. Wrestles that strong, hard style that is synonymous with Wrestle Rampage, but it's just such a good style to watch. If you want the suspension of disbelief to come in and watch a match of Tommy Knight's, and you'll definitely have that. He had a great match not too long ago, and I think I talked about it with him on the show with Richie Taylor at Deathmatch Down Under, which I loved. So nothing but big things in the future for Tommy Knight. And we talk all about that, all about a lot of things to do with Wrestle Rampage, because I know, and I'm guilty of it myself, I don't really talk about Wrestle Rampage a hell of a lot. And maybe that's because I have some, like, some conscious bias towards Riot City Wrestling, because that's where I'm from. That's where I learned my trade, my bumps, my all of that sort of thing. And it's also an East Coast bias thing. I'll put it out there now. You've got people always talking about around the world, they talk about, or around the wrestling world, they talk about MCW and PWA. They're the two big ones in Australia because they're on the East Coast and everyone sees all the East Coast stuff, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's great. I love the fact that it's getting out. But you've got places like EPW, you've got Wrestle Rampage, you've got Riot City Wrestling, you've got PCW, all of them doing really, really good things around the country. Lance Storm just this week tweeted about seeing a lot of Riot City stuff because he has a lot of students that do the his online coaching through Riot City and put Riot City Wrestling over. So that's a great thing to see. When you've got someone the caliber of Lance Storm talking up your Fed, you're doing good things in Adelaide, as are Wrestle Rampage. We talk a lot about their stuff. They got really hamstrung because the place that they had, Lion Arts, they were sort of like their home base, if you will. Right before their first big show back got flooded out. We'll talk about it on the interview. So most of the shows for this year have been done out of their dojo, which means also limited capacity because it's just a dojo. It's that sort of thing. But hopefully really soon they're getting ready to break out into another arena. So we'll see them flourish even more in 2021. But so Tommy Knight, guest this week, right after this Views from the East right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Fears from the East, I thought I'd bring up something that I've been talking about it with some other people around, and they're sort of on the same page as what I've been. So I thought I'd bring it up and see what the general pop think about this. A while ago when AEW first sort of launched and Cody Rhodes was talking about it, and it was like, oh, there's going to be no baby faces and no heels. There's always going to be these sort of shades of gray and blah, blah, blah. And I don't even know. I've probably talked about this before because that's how much it annoys me. I think the biggest thing we're lacking at the moment is really good heels, like guys that are comfortable being hated. It seems to me, or it feels like to me, that the guys that are going out there to be heels aren't being heels, or will be a heel, but not that much of a heel where they're still getting liked. And that's sort of a deal where, that's not our job. Like, people say shades of gray, and I think that's just beige to me. If you've got a baby face and a heel and they're both sort of doing the same thing, then you haven't got either. You've got just a whole group of fans that are going to be empathetic to either person because they don't feel either way about them. It's like, just a beige roster. Like, there are people that stand out when they are heels. I mean, and they do, like, of course, they do get liked for it. Like, guys like MJF, that guy plays a heel all the time, nonstop. And you might like him, but you're not liking him because you're liking him because he's an asshole. You're liking him because he's going out of his way to be disliked by everybody. You never see him compliment a fan, or if he does, he does it in a way that's a mocking way. You know what I mean? I'm not seeing that a lot of places anymore. Like, there was a promo this week or a clip from MCW Wired, the MCW podcast with Rocky Monero, where he talked about young guys coming up and having to, like, push him out of the spot. That is 100% true. And he's getting over as a heel at the moment by telling something that he thinks is the truth, that he believes is, and a good heel will find a way to believe whatever it is he is trying to sell. I know I do it. If there's something that I have to sell, like, we want to beat this guy for this reason, I'll find a reason why, and I'll make that reason in my head make sense to me so I can believe it, and then I'll sell it to you. And I think that's what we need more of nowadays. We need guys to be heels. We need guys to want to be hated and not just say they're a heel because it's an easy way to not have to do all the stuff that a babyface does, or say that they're a tweener because it's easier than saying, well, I can't get any reaction out of a fan. That's what a tweener is. A tweener is a guy that cannot get a good reaction out of a fan one way or the other. So they're just in between. They're a beiger. That's a beige to me. That's a beige. A tweener is a beige. And I'm sure people like the color beige, but it's boring. And if everybody wants to be beige, then you're going to have boring wrestling. You're going to have boring shows. Sure, the in-ring stuff might be great, but it's what draws some people to the crowd. It doesn't draw everybody. People want stories. People want characters. People want to hate somebody. People want to direct all the pent-up frustrations they have in their normal life. They want to direct it somewhere. Like they want to be able to direct it towards, say, for example, they want to direct it towards me being an asshole manager, especially if I'm acting something like, if I'm acting a way that they see their boss acting and they hate, that's the reason why they hate their boss, they're going to direct that hate towards me. And that's what I want. That's what a good heel wants. A good heel wants that crowd to want him to get his ass kicked. And I don't see that a hell of a lot at the moment. So whatever you have to do to find it, guys, if you truly want to be good at being a heel, find that thing. Find that thing that you believe that you know will arc somebody up, will you know will annoy someone. Don't insult them. Don't go out the way. You can insult them, but don't abusively insult them. Don't go through the pillars of what you don't go sex, you don't go race, you don't go religion. Simple as that. Anything else, you can give them shit. I don't care. I'll give someone shit about being ugly. I don't care. Because half the time they're not. And it's me just being outrageous. And if you hate me for that, that's cool. I'm going to get my ass kicked eventually, and you're going to love that. Anyway, I've probably just been rattling on for no reason for how long. But that's just my opinion. My opinion is heels need to find that thing that makes them heels, and they need to embrace it instead of embracing the beige. That's it for this Views from the East. I'm Todd Eastman. It's my opinion. You're entitled to it. We'll be back with Tommy Knight after this on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Bitch, I'm on a rampage, mask on my damn face.
Tommy Knight, thank you for joining us today, mate.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
So how are things down in Adelaide? I notice every time I look at the news and stuff, you guys seem to be getting back into life fairly easily now with the whole COVID thing. I'm not getting bashed like we are here.
A lot of the restrictions starting to lift. Yeah, a lot of the restrictions are starting to lift. So venues are starting to open. Maximum capacities are starting to lift, so that's all really good. We've started to be able to put on more shows, and we're starting to be able to look at selling out to our usual capacity that we were used to pre-pandemic. So very, very exciting times ahead.
Because you've had like your, I think it was Lion Arts, had a flood problem sort of thing right before your last first show back. So you've pretty much been doing everything from your dojo as the last couple of months, haven't you?
Yeah. So we went to Lion Arts, and that was going to be one of our big shows, like coming out of the lockdown and coming out of the crowd restrictions. So we were all set up. We put everything together. We're ready to go. We were about an hour from doors. And it'd been raining all day. Like it'd been like really flash flood type rain. And all of a sudden the power goes out, and we're all looking around at each other going like, did anybody touch anything that they weren't supposed to? No. So what happened was,
which normally behind the scenes for people in wrestling, that happens all the time. About 10 minutes before, something usually catastrophic happens and then comes together right before the doors open.
We'd had a really good setup. We were like, okay, everything's done. Like, we've got like 2-3 hours to kill, like of downtime. And we were just all looking at each other like something's going to happen. Like, the ring's going to break. The floor's going to break. Something's going to happen. And no. So what happened was the fuse box, the power box that they have in Lion Arts had flooded. That was the only thing that had flooded. It, like, water was coming in, but the power box flooded. And we got told by their staff that it's a safety hazard now. Everyone's got to evacuate in like an hour. So we had to break the ring down, pack it all away, get all the stuff, like our barricades and stuff, the whole setup, chuck it all back into the truck and be out of there in about an hour. So that was like the fastest ring breakdown and like show breakdown we've ever done. But that was an hour before doors and we were all very devastated for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, and also like, I know you're different in Wrestle Rampage anyway, are different to a lot of feds where you don't run like clockwork monthly sort of things. You guys space it out. I think it's like 6-7 weeks almost between some shows. So you've got to be thinking straight away, when's the next time we're going to be able to actually do this again?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't, it's so rare for us to cancel. We don't do it. We're like, at worst, we'll postpone like a week, maybe two. But for us to have to cancel a show, which is like something that's very much out of our hands, is out of the venue's hands too. There's like nobody could foresee what happened. But that was, a lot of us were like, oh, okay, great. We've spent so much time getting ready, being in shape, and now we've got to wait another 6 weeks before a show is available. I think we did this one pretty quickly afterwards, for us anyway. So it was like 3 or 4 weeks. So fairly good turnaround, but still, it was just like, we went from a venue that holds, say, 100 to 150 people, I think, to wrestling at our dojo, which holds, I think our capacity is like 60 or 70. So really, really cool, really intimate atmosphere. But at the same time, we were like, we've done a few of these, we're ready for a bigger show, we want to be back in front of a bigger crowd. And we had to miss out on that.
Just for me up here, the first time I got to go out in front of an actual crowd again, it was just amazing. I couldn't believe how much I'd actually missed it for the year. It was like, it's almost like I'd taken a year off, but I didn't, because I had no choice on the matter.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like, there's no better feeling for wrestlers, like, especially for wrestlers and like every performer that is on a show, there's no better feeling for all of us than being in front of a crowd that's like, capacity, going nuts. And as I said, we're very appreciative for having dojo shows, because it's we still get to wrestle and we still get to perform, and it's an interesting atmosphere. It challenges you, because all of a sudden you're performing to a very small audience, and it's like a very limited almost. So, because instead of performing where you've got to worry about every part of the ring, you're now focusing on the front and maybe a side, because that's where everyone is. If you're performing to the back of the ring, you're not performing to anyone. No one gets to see what you're doing.
Yeah, I'd love to be a
very good challenge, especially for newer people.
Yeah, I'd love to like talk to, say, Bronson today, after for months they would have been doing that NXT in front of a very limited crowd, even though they had those big screens around. It's a very limited crowd. What it would have been like today. Coming out, because that looked like a great crowd that they had in there. It very much reminded me of those NWA power tapings where they had the stand. So they had a decent amount of crowd that was in there, but it was still very safe. But you got that energy, and that energy is something you just can't replicate.
No, exactly. The NWA power show is like a really good, for anybody that hasn't been or seen one of our dojo shows, the NWA power setup is pretty close, like, is a good example of what it's like, with just one more side to the crowd. But guys like Bronson, he's wrestled everywhere, so I'm assuming, and most of the guys, once you get to that NXT level, they've been around enough, they can perform in front of five people and it's still the same, they bring that same energy. But it's a really interesting dynamic, especially when it's like you're picking out singular people in the crowd in a way that you can do that in a bigger show, but it makes way more difference in something like this, where where you having a conversation. You can talk to whoever you want and point at someone and go, you, and have that interaction and conversation with someone while you're performing.
I must admit, even with like big crowds that I've worked in front of, when we've done like homecomings up here with 450, 500 people, I'll still pick that one or two people out in the crowd, because in a way, half the time, in a way, it helps me with nerves, because I'm like, ah, oh, I'm only really working for this person. But it also, like, just the energy of that one person usually is infectious for the people that are around them. The people around them will sort of stick up, because it's that mob mentality. They'll stick up for them straight away. Why don't you stop picking on him, sort of thing. And that's just, yeah. But for me, like, when I first started doing it, it was purely because I was nervous out there. I didn't want to fuck up. So I was like, I'm going to pick you out, kid. Sorry about this, but you're getting it for the night.
No, it's exactly right. You pick one out, and like something that we were all taught like pretty early, especially when we're just getting on shows, is the more you pick out one person from each part of the crowd, the more you can get that whole section into whatever you're doing. Like, you bring them with you on whatever story you're telling, because they're now so much more invested, because, oh, you know, they interact with us. They do talk to us. We do matter. We're part of the show. And it's still walking a fine line between allowing them to be a part of the show and controlling the show and making it entirely about them. But mostly, I know, at least in my experience, Australian audiences are really good at, you know, they want to be a part of the show, not take it over.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny, because when I put up the post yesterday, like advertising that you'd be on, we're like, I nearly said Jonah. Bronson is going to be on the NXT TakeOver show. We'll probably end up talking about that. But now it doesn't matter what we talk about now. It's going to be dated, because we'll watch tomorrow's and we'll see whether or not he wins the title. He wins the title. Yeah. After this shit, we're saying he's going to be moot. But I guess I'll just try and record the opening to this show after that, so then at least I can add in what happened. So at this point where we're recording it, Bronson won the scramble match and now goes on to face Johnny Gargano tomorrow night, whenever this show goes up. He faces him on the Friday. So there we go. That's got to be like, that's a massive accomplishment for him, and something that he's been working for years. Even just NXT, it's been, what, 2 years now in NXT?
Yeah, this is like a combination of 2 years of work for him. You know, he's dedicated a lot of his life so much of his life to wrestling, and this is comfortably the biggest match of his life. So, you know, very, very happy and proud of him.
Yeah, it's even more astounding when you know he still has a fairly decent hand in Wrestle Rampage as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Just the fact that he's doing that and concentrating on his own career, that's... And sometimes I'm just like, I don't know why you're doing it. Why wouldn't you just go, look, I need to do this for me at the moment, and then I will come back and help. But at the moment, I just, to see him doing that, like, hats off to him for doing it to start with.
For sure. Look, I think it just shows, especially for the rest of us that are still here, it shows he loves it. He loves Rampage. He's cared about it for such a long time, and he's had such a big hand in, you know, all of our careers. And it's still very gratifying to see him. Like, you know, he'll give a lot of us a shout out, and all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't have to do that at all. That's something that he chooses to do. And with the reach like that, and what it does for us, is, you know, we can't ever thank him enough.
When you started training, did he sort of like pick you out and go, that's a dude that I can really work with, because he's basically like the model of me. When I was younger, I know how to do this. I know how to help him.
Yeah. So when I started, it was him. So Bronson, Istria, and Slater were the three. It was Bronson and Slater, and then Istria, and those three were pretty high on me pretty quickly, because I took to a lot of things very, very naturally. But the more I trained and the more time I spent, you know, staying late, watching what they do, you know, making sure that I could absorb as much knowledge as possible, as fast as possible, they really started to take a shine to me. And Bronson, the more he watched me, the longer he was around me, he showed me a lot of wrestling that he liked. And the more I responded to that, the more he was like, you know, I've got I can map out a pathway for you to improve really fast and to teach you the things that you need to know. And this, because, you know, he's been there. This is exactly what I did. So if you respond to this, great. And the more I did, the more he was like, yeah, sweet. I can take you on this path and really, you know, take you under my wing. And that's what he did.
Yeah. Cause I know when, cause we briefly crossed at Riot City. I think he left not long after I started training, but my tryout, he dropped in and just grabbed me and said, even taking a clothesline before? I went, no. He goes, oh, now's your first time. Because I think he saw that I was a bigger guy, and he goes, he sort of maybe sort of the same with you. You're a lot bigger than me, yeah. But it was sort of like, that's a big guy. I know what to do with him, see if he can actually take a shot.
Yeah, he did the same thing with me at my tryout. So I don't know. I think it's been a while since we've done something like that at a tryout, but when I started, that was like the last thing that we did. It was like, we'll see how you bump and take a move, whether or not you like you shirk away from contact or you just take it. And I'd come from MMA, so I was like, I'm pretty used to getting hit. You know, it's something that you have to just learn to do. And yeah, he gave that to me, and I think from there, he gave me the clothesline, and from there I was like, yeah, I was in his good books.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd come from league too. So I was like pretty much well,
contact.
But when I think about it now, and at the time I was like, oh yeah, fair enough. When I think about it now, I'm like, shit, I didn't know how to run a rope. I didn't know how to get, and he just threw me into it and beat the shit. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. The way they did it with us, they were like, okay, go stand. Like, because I didn't know how to run ropes. This is my first time ever being in a ring. So go stand on the ropes and then run at me and I'll give you clotheslines. Like, yep, cool, no worries. Run in, take it. From wrestling, like Greco-Roman and freestyle wrestling, I knew how to bump. I didn't know that was what it was called.
Yeah.
But I could fall. I knew how to protect myself falling. And that was all it was, of just take contact, throw yourself back. And you know, they take you through the technique of a bump during the tryout. Was like, I took to that pretty quickly, and he was like, yeah, you can do it, off you go.
Yeah Well, I think it's too, because I got up so quickly after the bump, because I'm used to, like, rugby, you get tackled, you try and get yourself up as quick as possible to play the ball. So I was just bang straight up. He goes, oh, you all good? I said, yeah, I'm fine. So, oh, cool. That was pretty much it.
Very good.
When you had your tryout, because I know that being it's Wrestle Rampage, it's also like, it's that history of like 01 and all of that stuff. Yeah. Was it very much a because you even call yourself the dojo? Was it a Japanese type tryout where it was like 1,000 squats and all of that jazz? Like, we did it with Riot City, but I think ours was probably a bit more rounded to as whereas yours would have been, I think, I'm just assuming, more like that Japanese style training.
Yeah. So for the, it's yes and no, like it's still pretty well rounded because they are like, because Jag, the, you know, Harley Jackson takes his inspirations from everywhere and everything that he's done, and he's, you know, been and done everything.
Yeah.
So it comes from a lot of places, but yeah, it's still very, like, the most of us that wrestle there gravitate towards that Japanese hard hitting style, that very traditional style of pro wrestling. So a lot of it was, you know, lots of squats, lots of push-ups, lots of whatever else I couldn't do at the time. And and they just put you through your paces, because really all they're trying to do, especially when they give you such a high number, for somebody that's never done anything like that, like I've done conditioning for MMA, which is great, but you know, it's a little bit different when you've got it's like you've got certain expectations that you have to meet, and a lot of it is about seeing whether or not you break, whether or not you want to keep going and push through something that you know is a little bit, like, they're not giving you 500,000 squats, whatever we were doing, to expect you to finish. They just want to see you keep going.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They don't expect every rep to be like, oh, okay, I've done this a million times, so this is easy. No, it's supposed to be hard, because wrestling's hard.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, for a fact, the only reason I got through my Riot City tryout is because I didn't give up. I went, I went, threw up, and went straight back to the drill. I had to go and throw up again, and straight back to the drill. They're like, well, this kid obviously wants it. Exactly the same. Like, he obviously wants it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was exactly the same. I did my tryout and I was like, oh, I got through, I reckon, 50 squats before I was like, oh, this is more squats than I've ever done in my life. And I can't go down and do these properly anymore. It's like, you know, now I can do 500 squats and it's like, oh, it's tough, but I can do it. It's not, yeah. It doesn't break me. I can continue to train afterwards. But at the time, got through 50 squats and I could barely move. And it was just like, no, but this is where I want to be. I want to do this. So keep going. At Rampage, they built a really good atmosphere of getting people to push as well. Because that's what everybody's come through, all the guys previously. So, like, you know, your Wrecking Ball, your Greg Graham, your Pat Graham, all these guys, Joey Graham as well. All the guys that came before us are really, really good about pushing you because that's what they had.
Mm-hmm.
So they're good at lifting people up and making them go well beyond their breaking point if they were by themselves.
Yeah. I remember we used to walk into training, and if I saw Brendan Vink or Elliot Sexton, if I saw him, like there was going to be running the training, I was in my head, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Because I knew it was nothing but you'd do 1,000 fucking squats and then you get in the ring to run the rope while your legs are jelly. It was like, well, this is fun. I'm going to die.
Yeah. we have that same thing of like, it depends. You always have to gauge the mood of whoever's taking the training. You have to gauge their mood because you know if you're in for, oh, good, we're going to death by cardio or we're going to be in the ring doing fun stuff because that's what they want to do. But, you know, no matter what, at least once a week we're doing death by cardio.
Yeah, well, that's like as much as everyone says, like in-ring cardio is totally different to actual cardio, you still need to have that actual cardio.
Oh, for sure. You can't do anything without it.
No. And like, just as an example, like you look at Bronson, that's a big dude, but he could easily wrestle for 45 to an hour and be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of that too is not just like, you have to have good cardio to be able to wrestle for that long. That's like, there's no ifs, ands or buts. But it's also learning how to wrestle appropriately. And that's something that Bronson's always been really good at, is he wrestles to his size and to his strengths. He stays away from stuff. Like, you're not going to see him run for 45 minutes.
No.
Because that'd be ridiculous.
No. But he's very smart. Like, I call it economical. He's very economical with his movements.
Yeah, extremely. And a lot of that is because, you know, you're going to see him do his big power moves and his, like, show off what he's good at, which is, you know, being big, being strong. And he can do that 45 minutes into a match, which is, that's really impressive to me, of being like, you know, a guy my size or a guy Bronson's size running for 45 minutes, I would be super impressed, but I'd also be like, well, that's not what I'm ever going to be able to do, so I'm going to do what I can do.
Yeah. When you had your match with him, how nervous were you going in? Because it's not only just like at the time, Jonah Rock, all of that sort of, it was your trainer, it was your, and you'd obviously been probably watching him before you'd even got into wrestling. So how was your nerves getting into that? Just wanting to, probably wanting to live up to everything he's put into it, like into you. But B, just for yourself to be able to say, I can hang with Jonah. I'm gonna keep saying Jonah because that's how I've known him for friggin' years.
Yeah. But no, that's fair enough. So beforehand, it was like, the thing is when you wrestle someone like that, it's the same when I wrestled Jag or whatever, wrestled Istria, being like, I'm in there with someone who knows what they're doing. So a lot of the nerves is like, if a mistake gets made, it's absolutely going to be me that makes it. So a lot of it is like, that's what's going on in my head, of just don't be the one to make the mistakes. But a lot of it was like, you know, he's my friend, he's my mentor, he's my trainer, and I'm in really good hands. And once we got out there, it was like, oh, okay, I can see why, you know, you're going to go as far as you go, because you're incredible and you do all these things that only a couple of people I've ever wrestled do. Just how calm they are and everything, and you know, they can be out there having a full conversation with what you're supposed to be doing next, and nobody's any the wiser. Because one of the things that a lot of people don't know about that match is about 20 seconds in, Jonah pulled his calf, like, as he couldn't run. So all of a sudden we've had to get rid of like a third of what we're going to do, because he couldn't move. He had to be very limited with his movements, and that was scary. That was the first time I'd ever been like, oh, okay, we have to change an entire match on the fly, and it was easy. So easy, because he's really, really good.
Yeah, and that's also what your training's about, isn't it? Being able to go, all right, we can't do that, move to here. Or how about scrap we do this?
Next.
Or, yeah, exactly. It's funny to hear you say that, because I remember the first time I ever managed was in a main event, but it was like I was managing Adam Brooks against Matt Basso. And I was just a ball of fucking nerves backstage, just walking back and forth and back and forth. And Cree's like, what's wrong with you? I said, well, it's fucking Brooksy and Grimm. If anyone's going to fuck up, it's going to be me, isn't it? And it just, I've never heard Cree laugh so much in his life. He's like, yeah, that's pretty much right, mate. Good luck with that. I'm like, thanks, Craig. Yeah, thanks, mate.
Yeah. No, I was like that with my first ever match, but the weirdest thing that calmed me down when I got out there was the referee that was in it. Just started talking to him when I was out there, and I was like, oh, okay. He's calm. Like, I mean, obviously he's a lot calmer than I am.
Yeah.
But it was just like, yeah, okay, sweet. This guy's got a really good energy for me to feed off of, and I can just relax and breathe. And that helped a lot at least for the first couple of matches that I ever had, just having someone that in the match that was really, really calm.
It must have been because when you would have debuted, it would have been before the dojo stuff, wouldn't it? So you would have debuted in front of the normal bigger crowds, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that was years before that. So I debuted in 2017, at the beginning of 2017. And, you know, I debuted pretty quickly after I joined Rampage. I think it was about 3 months of training. That was my goal, because I was told that that's what Bronson did, and so I wanted to do that. So I was like, well, I want to do that too. So that was my goal. After I reckon the second show that I was ever around, I was like, I want to be on the next one.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I did it, but in a totally different way. I think I was like two shows, but then I was on a show, but I was only in commentary, so I was fine. I'm just like, I'm not taking any bumps.
There's a whole different set of nerves for that. I'd rather wrestle like a 40-minute match than have to talk.
Yeah, well, the first, like, I think I made one joke and three people laughed. And I'm like, well, I'm starting to get it, I guess. That was when we had live commentary.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Do they still do that at RCW?
Not anymore, no. They've stopped it. I think it was hard for them to sync it with the video.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because they were trying to work it out for years, and we kept saying, why don't we just record like a podcast? This is what I do all the time. It's quite easy. You record the podcast and you sync it to the... But I think it just took them a while because they had to run through the soundboard and all of that sort of stuff. But now that's all worked out, and that's how they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys... I can't remember. Do you guys have commentary on yours, or is it just the...
We do. We have Matt Hodges, our commentator. He's he started... 2 years ago, he's always had a really good voice for it, but as time's gone on, he's just gotten a lot more confident and comfortable with it, and now he's like he does it by himself, and he's sensational.
Oh, Joey Styles is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he does it. He does it at our dojo shows. I don't even know if we use the commentary for the show, but like you can hear him when you're in the ring, and you just hear him like talking, because he's like talking into a recorder, and it's really good.
Yeah. Can you just excuse me for a second? For those of you, that brief intermission, I had a dog problem. We're okay now, though. Well, it's for you yourself, too. Aside from Wrestle Rampage, you've been like the last two years, but we had to stop now. The last couple of years, I guess, you've sort of been spreading your wings now to travel interstate. I know you came up here and worked a show up here with us with Pro Wrestling League. You've been on MC Dub. You've done Deathmatch Down Under now. It must be good to be able to get to Melbourne, especially now, to be able to do those shows, especially when I thought your first show was with, your first Deathmatch Down Under was with Smash Mouth, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, with Richie, I love that match. It was so good.
Yeah. No, thank you so much. No, he was good fun to work with. He's a lovely dude. Lovely, lovely human being. So I got a lot of time for Richie.
It must be good to be able to get out, and this is no offense to like the Rampage roster, but it's good. Must be good to be able to like spread your wings and like face other people from other areas. Just because you'd all seem to be like
Sure. Very much so. It's also like it's just nice to be able to bring my, you know, my performances to newer audiences as well. And it's like getting to perform in front of MCW crowds and, you know, like I got to do PWA as well. I got to wrestle Mick Moretti very like 2 years in, and I'm like, I'm already like, oh man, if I could have that match back, it'd be so much better now, because I'm like, I'm way more experienced and I understand wrestling a lot better now. So there's a bunch of stuff that I'd love to have back, but performing in front of the PWO crowd was really, really good, because that was, I got to, it was me, Tim Cade and Jay Diamond, because I traveled up with Rat.
Yes.
With Rat Daddy to Queensland, and he was in a triple threat as well with,
yeah, we worked him.
With Adonis and Jake Nova, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we worked Rat.
Yeah. And that was like, you know, that was a really, really fun show to be a part of.
Yeah. Especially with, like people don't really talk about Jade Diamond that much because he's sort of in and out, but what a, like, if that dude was there all the time, he'd be taking the country by storm, I reckon.
I'd only heard a little bit about from Israel. And then I heard a bit about him from, Mitch, and he was like, "Nah, you really like working him. He's good fun."
Mm.
And then I met him, and you know, this jacked Islander dude that was like, "Oh wow, you're in great shape, great look, nice." One of the nicest dudes I've ever met in my life, and he was great fun. If he dedicated himself to wrestling, obviously, you know, some people just, it's not what they want to do.
No,
you know, they're happy doing. They're happy being a part of wrestling the way they are, a part of it, and they don't have any ambition to push it further than they currently have. And that's, you know, that's more than okay. But if he ever chose to do it and full-time and make himself a pro wrestler, like a full-time pro wrestler, he'd be incredible. I was blown away with how good he was.
He's one of those guys, too, that's like, he just keeps to himself and he's quiet about stuff. But every now and then when you talk to him, he'll just drop a nugget. And you're like, what? Because he'd be like, because a couple of years ago, we were talking about something. We're talking about some WWE tryout. I think he goes, yeah, when I did that one, it was pretty much. I'm like, you were there? He goes, yeah, I was there. We're like, why do I not hear? Why do you not talk about it? He's just like, yeah, I just did it. Like he was on Young Rock.
I was talking to him about that and he was like, you know, oh, yeah. Yeah, he was talking to me about it, and I was like, oh, okay, so you were there for the tryout. He's like, yeah, man. And then they emailed me back, and they were really, really keen. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
when we come back, we have a second tryout. Please be there. We want to have another look at you. He's like, yeah, sure. I was like, that is the most unassuming dude to be like, man, if you really wanted it, you'd probably have it. But he just seems like the kind of dude that's like,
it's quite happy.
If it happens, it happens. I don't care. Yeah, I'm happy with what I have.
He's quite happy. Just pops up here and there.
Like the most humble dude.
Yeah. You don't hear about him for months. And you're just like, you're talking to one of the guys I manage, Mitch Ryder, because he was on the Young Rock shoot as well. And he was like, oh, yeah, the Diamond was there. Diamond was there? He goes, yeah, he was Roddy Piper. I'm like, Roddy Piper?
Seeing him get like, yeah, he's just, it just seems like he's around these massive opportunities and he's just so nonchalant about it.
Yeah. 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 Where like, everyone else is, man, posting fucking selfies and shit.
Like, I'm so happy for him because he's like, yeah, just a really deserving dude. Just, it's just like, oh my goodness. This guy is like, I don't think he even cares about how close he is to being like, you know, you could be one of the biggest names in Australian wrestling if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah. And another guy goes, oh, you know, but I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing. It's like, if there's a match there, I'll do it. If there's not, I'm just, you know. It's like every time they bring him into like feds that I wasn't booking. They bring him into a fed that I'm not booking or something. You're like, oh, yeah, Jay's going to job to. Like, why? How is he ever jobbing to anybody? Look at him. How are you doing this?
Yeah.
And Jade just doesn't care.
He's no, like, it's like you just bring him out. Doesn't care at all, has no ego involved in it.
No.
Like, it's such a nice thing to see from a dude that is like, you put him in front of an audience and it's like, how many of the people in the audience could actually imagine him ever losing just based on, like, you just look at him and then he starts wrestling. It's like, oh man, the guy can work.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, he's going to job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's just like, yeah,
just that's cool. A very, very bizarre thing.
I'm not worried. It's all good. Whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, oh, all right. If you're cool with it, I'm not going to say anything. Oh, shut up.
Exactly. No, good dude.
Yeah, yeah. So what are your like, obviously your immediate plans are build up Wrestle Rampage as much as you can. Try and travel maybe to Melbourne, maybe to Sydney if you can, because as the opportunities arise, especially with the climate we're in nowadays, especially now that the New Zealand bubble's opening up, that must be something that you're obviously looking at as well. Maybe SPW, something like that.
Yeah.
Is the ultimate goal though, sort of meeting Bronson in WWE, or is it traveling to Japan, or where would you see yourself fitting the best?
So I always had, like, even when I started, I had a very big ambitions as far as wrestling goes. Currently, I think Japan is probably where I want to go in the more immediate future. But I know for me, my goal was always, like, and I set the bar really low for myself. Yeah, I always wanted to be the first person to main event Wrestle Kingdom and WrestleMania. That was always my goal when I went into wrestling, because no one's ever done that.
Lazy,
easy, no problem.
Yeah, just a lazy lazy goal to have there.
Yeah, so that was the goal for me that I set for myself, and if I ever did that, then I know that I could retire with, like, I did everything I set out to do. But so, like, right now my goal at the moment is Japan, 01 NOAH, New Japan if it comes up, but experiencing a lot of what Bronson did, a lot of what the guys from Rampage did before me. They all went through the Japanese system and it was really, really good for them. It made them incredible wrestlers. Mm. And I want to do something similar to that, because that's, living up to what came before.
Yeah, well, Bronson spent his time at NOAH as well, so that's possibly one of the best breeding grounds you could have to come up, especially now when they've got, like, on their roster they've got Muto, like that.
Yeah,
that,
they've just got a whole bunch of guys that are like, and they take care, like, their legends come in and impart knowledge, because they, they get, especially in Japan, they're treated very differently to how they are in the West. Like, you see someone like Muto come in and win the belt and he carries it, and it's seen as like this great honor because he's a legend. They do that with a lot of their older guys, a lot of their guys that have been and done everything. They treat them with such respect, and it's like, you do that in a Western company. Like, if you were to say, like, say WWE and Hogan or Ric Flair comes back right now and wins the title, people would be so upset because they're just not treated. It's just different. Yeah. And I look at
Hogan and Flair, and like, they're possibly not the best two examples of guys because of how old they really are, because they are like Flair nearly died for
not young.
but I like, especially when especially with Goldberg, they said about Goldberg and that sort of thing. Like, I would probably be very critical if Sting won the AEW championship, only because that he's had all these injuries, and at the moment it looks like the only way that they're getting him to wrestle is through these cinematic matches where they can have like cuts and all of that stuff. And then there were some rumors that there were stunt doubles doing some of the bumps for that cinematic match for Sting as well, which is, if that's true, and I don't know if it is at all, that's disturbing that he couldn't even take some of the bumps.
Yeah, and it's like it helps them have a lot of control over the way they present someone like Sting, especially with, like, you know, he's got such a reputation to uphold. It's the same thing when you watch, like, Taker in his last few matches that were live, and then he did his cinematic match, and it's like, oh, okay, as long as he's taking care of his body. Now, this is a guy that's, like, at that stage of his career, he's earned the right to do whatever he wants. And if he wants to go out in front of a live audience, that's completely up to him. But having the capacity to have cinematic matches and that being accepted is like a really, really good career preserver for guys like that. That have been, you know, someone like Flair could do whatever he wants now because they don't have to be physically demanding.
No.
It just relies on him being who he's been for 50 years.
Well, especially after you watch that Last Ride doco and you realize how many friggin' injuries the Taker had been through and how much stuff he'd had done to him before having to come back and do those matches. You're like, oh, geez, why don't you just retire, mate? If I had a fake hip, there's no way you'd see me in there taking a bump.
No, but that's the thing. Guys like that just love wrestling.
Mm.
It's all they've known, and that's like you get to that kind of level and that's really all they do. That's their life.
Yeah.
And anybody that loves wrestling to the point that they're like, yeah, you know what? I do have a replacement hip and I've had 17 knee surgeries and back surgery and neck surgery and whatever else. And I still want to get in there and bump around because I've been doing it for 50 years and I still love it. I have so much respect for
it. You're one of the younger guys. So I want to pose this question to you. The art of selling. Like, I don't see it a hell of a lot anymore with younger guys. I just wonder if that's something that's, I don't know what it is about it that they feel, I don't know if it feels like sometimes they think it makes themselves look a bit more weaker if they're doing that and they're not understanding that it's like, that's the way you get a crowd to get behind you and all of that. I think, like, there was a quote, I mentioned it last show I did with somebody, I can't remember how many shits of the head I've had. They talked about with Edge was talking about, like, he doesn't know why guys don't sell German suplexes more because German suplexes legitimately hurt. So why would you no sell it to get up?
No,
it
for
actually
sure.
Hurts.
I think a lot of it is because I think it depends on where they've been taught as well, because a lot of people, like, there's an art to it and it is an art, it's not science. You have to find what works for you, and that's the biggest thing, is finding there is no one size fits all as far as, like, selling is concerned. You have to sell to your size, sell to your character, sell to the story, sell to the move, sell to the match, sell to the event, that kind of stuff. You know, you it all works as, like, one cohesive unit to decide on, like, what you're doing. As far, like, selling a punch in a match that is, like, a throwaway, or not a throwaway, but, like, let's say you're in, like, the opening match, you're not going to be bumping up a storm like you would at the end of a main event, you know, because that's taking away from what's going to happen later in the show. But I think people, a lot of it, especially the newer guys, a lot of it is just they're trying to get through the match. So a lot of it is, like, they forget to sell because they're so concerned with what's next. They don't stay in the moment of the match, and you see it all the time. And that's what a lot of, like, I know that's what we teach at Rampage, and a lot of what I've been taught is, like, you know, if you're a pro wrestler, stick to what's happening in the moment, live in each moment rather than what's next. No, react to what's happening. And the more you do that, the more you can sell and tell your story, and it gets people really invested in what's happening. And, like, it lets you do less to get people just as invested as if you were hitting a new move.
Yeah.
And that's
the theory I have. If you're selling more, then you don't have to take as many bumps.
Exactly. And it was like, you know, there's this whole philosophy on what style of wrestling you do, because I don't do a lot when I wrestle because I don't have to.
No.
Because if you get people to sell your stuff correctly, like, sometimes it's fun and you just want to go out and do a bunch of things. And it's like, as long as it all makes sense, that's fine. Like, not selling to the, like, you know, not being Shawn Michaels being able to sell a punch for 15 minutes. It's like, okay, it's like, that's okay. You can, you still have a role in wrestling. You're not barred from ever being on a show. Mm. But it's like, but you're limiting yourself of what you can do, because don't make no mistake, someone like Shawn Michaels could have gone out and hit a million moves and it would still be incredible. But he didn't have to.
No.
He could take five things and make that mean as much. Mm. And that's really what it is, of like deciding what kind of wrestler you want to be and letting that decide how you sell. And also, you know, getting to the point where you're comfortable selling everything because you're in the moment and not thinking about what's coming next.
Yeah. I know, I cop a lot of flack for being sort of outspoken, the fact that I'm not really a fan of the AEW style, but it's not that I'm not a fan of the AEW psychology. Because when I watched the Young Bucks against FTR, FTR brought in their psychology with the Young Bucks style, and I found that worked perfectly, and I loved that match. And I just think it's just a matter of, like, you can have all these cool new moves and all of this stuff, and it looks great. But if you're using the old, like, just because something's old doesn't mean it's not good anymore. And I think you need to find that. People need to find that balance of working that old style psychology with the new sort of move set that people have.
I agree with that. That's a lot of... So someone like Will Ospreay is very influential in current wrestling, because a lot of it is very, like, it's very, very high spot heavy. It's very, very, like, there's lots of psychology that goes into everything he does because he's really good. But a lot of what, a lot of the principles that he seems to wrestle by is like, okay, well, we don't slow the match down at any stage. We keep everything going. We're always building to the next big thing, as opposed to, like, you know, slowing the match down, let the audience digest what they've seen, and then give people time to sell and get their sympathy. Like, a lot of, you know, like, so if you ever watch something like that, like AEW style is, there's no heat. There's no heat ever run. Nobody, no heel runs a heat. They never slow the match down. It's always like, okay, build to the next incredible thing that happens. It's like, that's fine, but I don't care.
Yeah, you get to miss.
Because you haven't made me care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, eventually you're building, you're endlessly building to something that's got to go higher and higher and higher. But you're doing that across the entire show until someone has to come off the top of, like, a ladder that's stacked on top of another ladder that's stacked on top of another ladder through three tables that are all set on fire and electrified in, like, a pool surrounded by piranhas and sharks. And that's your finishing spot for the show, because you forced it to be that.
Yeah, like, I was always taught by Cree that it was like a match just sort of goes like that, then it can go down a bit, then you build them back up, and that's when you finish this. You don't go to your high spot, like, then just dill it down, and then and you've got to know the right timing, and the right timing is to listen to the crowd, because the crowd will tell you when it's time to go.
The and crowd will tell you whatever you need to know about the structure of a match. Yeah,
and as much as, like, I know the people want the whole cool learning to get my shit in, if getting your shit in is at the expense of the crowd's enjoyment, then did you really get your shit in? Because that's what, as far as I'm concerned, your shit is to get the crowd. And if you've lost the crowd trying to get all of your shit in, then you didn't do a good job.
No. Look, there's very dueling philosophies in wrestling about this. People that believe that their match should be everybody hits all of their moves, and that's the match. And it's like, you know, you sell everything and it still works towards whatever ending you're coming up with, but you always get all your shit in. You always hit all your moves, and that's what sends people home happy, because they got to see a bunch of cool stuff. And it's like, that's not untrue, but it also has its place. And that's what people need to find a balance between, I think, is you can have, like, some audiences, that's what they want to see. They want to see cool moves and they want to see lots of it. But then others are like, no, it's like a move means nothing to me. I don't care. I want to see, like, okay, oh, this guy is getting beaten up and I want to see him come back. Cool.
Tell me,
that's a really easy story of, like, you know what? We're going to make you work for that, because when you finally get what you want, it means more. But I didn't have to hit a million moves. I just had to make that guy work harder to come back.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not about sending the crowd home happy. Sometimes you want to send the crowd home angry, because then they want to come back to see that guy get his comeuppance. And that, for me, that's been
No, exactly right.
Up here, it's been so hard to try and translate that to some people. It's like, everyone, oh, no, the end of the show has got to be up and happy. It was like, why? Why do they want to come back the next month aside from the fact that, like, we were happy at the end of the day? That's not an emotion that drives people to come back. People want to come back to see, like, in my role as a heel manager, they want to see me get caught finally by the baby face. And if I gave it to them every month, they're not going to want to see that all the time because they caught him last month. They caught him the month before. He bumps all the time. Why do we want to see that again?
No, exactly. A lot of that is about having cohesion between the people that are on the show and the booker of the show and what the goal of the show is. So that, like, in that particular case, you're talking about something like, what's the story of the show? What's our long-term angle? What are we looking to achieve in terms of, you know, we've got our biggest show at the end of the year, but this is the start of the year. We have to get from point A to point B and making sure that you don't give away the part that everyone wants to see until you get to point B.
Yeah.
And that's just getting everybody on the same page.
Yeah. The biggest thing that annoys me about some shows is that, where's my hook to come back next month?
Mm.
Leave me with a hook to come back.
For sure.
Leave me with something where, oh, I want to see that. Like, lead me to not just like, oh, that was a really good show. Now I'll go and check Facebook to see what the matches are next month. Because that's not going to, because oftentimes I might miss it in the feed. I just might miss it. And then it's off my mind.
For sure. Like, a lot of that, I think, comes down to, like, it's not disrespecting your audience. And when I say that, what I mean is, like, you're going to have some people that come to a show no matter what.
Yeah.
So you don't need to necessarily, you don't want to, you know, you don't shit on them, but you don't need to market towards them.
No.
Whereas then there's the next group of people that they want to come and see good wrestling. And good wrestling means good stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, having a story, like, even having a through line for the show, like, from beginning to the end of a single show is important. But having that lead into what happens next, I think, I know that from all the shows that I've been on with Rampage, I think we've always done a pretty good job of that. We always make sure to have one of the last things that happens on the show be something that makes you want to come next show.
Yeah, or even if it's an ending to a thing at a show, during the show, there'll be a start to something else.
Yeah, always having something that people are looking forward to. It's like, oh, okay, cool, that's over, but this start, I want to see what happens next.
Mm. I remember making that joke with one of the guys up here because one of the shows, I was like, I'm lucky enough where I kind of get to book my own angles, like with my guys. Like, we want to work with this kid because we see something in him. Let me work with him. This is my idea. I've got three show angles, three show hook, that sort of thing. And then I think we're at the end of one show a little while ago and they go, well, why do you do that? I said, well, they're going to want to come back to see what happens with us now. They don't really care. And you've just blown everything in your angles. But they're gonna want what's happening with us, and that's for me. That's the job. We're always supposed to be selling. We're supposed to be selling in a match. We're supposed to be selling the next show. We're supposed to be selling the promotion.
Yeah. No, I agree. I 100% agree with as the because some things are not made to be running for 3-6 shows, however long you want to run. Some things are just, you know, one and done.
Yeah,
but when you get the opportunity to work something that's a little bit longer term, that's when you try and take advantage of it by not giving everything away immediately.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, there's no real point in promoting the dojo show because you've pretty much sold it out at the moment, haven't you? I think you said like you 2 tickets left or something.
Something like that. It's very few tickets left. So if anybody, if anybody's still waiting for before we sell out, that's they. Probably in a couple of days,
yeah.
If that.
And that, I don't think, because with COVID and that sort of stuff, I'm not sure if, are you allowed to sell tickets at the door?
No. No, see, everything has to be bought online, yeah.
That's the it's thing got I don't think, yeah, I think a lot of people don't realise that now. So at the moment, not allowed to sell tickets at the door because of restrictions and whatnot. So if you want to get tickets to shows, even upcoming shows for Wrestle Rampage, PWA, everybody, like,
yeah,
get them online because until COVID fucks off, this is what we're going to have to do. And
yeah, no, exactly right.
How quickly do you guys have your shows up on Vimeo after they're now? Because this thing I was telling you before off here, I wasn't even sure you guys had a Vimeo channel until I think I saw it in the corner of the post. I've gone, oh shit, I'm gonna have to watch some of these. So I didn't even know that they were. I was even gonna question you, like, well, why aren't you guys on some sort of? I'm like, oh, well, they are. Aren't I a friggin' idiot?
No, a lot of that. So. I'm not actually sure what the timetable changes, because the timetable changes from availability of people that put the edits of the show together.
Yep.
That's not for me that I have anything to do with, so I'm not the best person to ask for that. However, I know a lot of the problem that we have is that, as I was saying to you before, is we have a really bad habit of we do a really good job of getting people aware of the show, we sell the show out, and we do that. You know, most shows get sold out. It's been a while since we haven't had a sellout. But then I know that a lot of us get slack in pushing or in making people aware of the Vimeo page and, you know, like Wrestle Rampage Replay, which is a really, really good source of old Wrestle Rampage. You'll see some of the classic stuff. And you, like, 6-7 years ago, that was without a shadow of a doubt, that was the best roster in Australia, because that had everyone.
Mm.
That had every champion that was any good. That had everybody that was any good in Australian wrestling. They were on Wrestle Rampage. You know? And So if you want to go back and see like some old school wrestling from 5-10 years ago, it's absolutely worth checking out, because it gets updated regularly with like old classic Rampage shows, which is something that's worth a look.
Yeah, because I think I was when I was talking to you about coming on the show, I try with all my guests, I try to make it a fairly even spread of around the country, because it's Wrestle Radio Australia, it's not Wrestle Radio one state. I've realized it when I look back through, I haven't really had any Wrestle Rampage guys on, and I think that's purely just because I'm a Riot City guy, so it's easy for me just to reach out to somebody from that roster and go, do you want to come on? Yep, cool, done, sort of.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm just like, I've got to, if I'm gonna say that I think everyone should be working together and should be trying to push Australian wrestling as hard as they can, I've got to do it as well. So that's one of the main reasons why I reached out to you to have you on, not to mention the fact that I've seen you like go from strength to strength over the last couple of years. And then being on that death match down under, that match was my favorite shirt match on that card. And I'm just like, why haven't I talked to him? Like, I know him, I've met him. Why haven't I just reached out to him and say, do you want to come on? So thank you for coming on.
No, thank you for having me.
For people that want to follow Tommy Knight and everything he's doing and where he's going, because I assume you're going to be out and about more now that the country's opening up. How can they do that?
Doing my best to do exactly that. I'll actually be in Melbourne on Deathmatch Down Under before the next Rampage show. So very, very shortly, April 17th, I think, is Deathmatch Down Under Spiders.
Oh, yeah, not here to fuck spiders.
Yeah, that's the one. And me versus Caveman Uggs, that's a first time.
Oof.
So, yeah. I'm excited for that.
Meat slapping meat right there.
No, exactly right. And then a week after that, we've got the Rampage Dojo show. So whoever gets the last couple of tickets there, and then check back on the Vimeo on Wrestle Rampage Replay regularly for updates.
But it's all so Tommy Knight 1985.
1995.
See, that's how old I am. I'm like 85. Isn't it? No. Tommy Knight, 1995, pretty much on, I think it's on everything, isn't it? Like your Insta. So go and follow him. Follow so you can keep up with everything that's happening with this guy. The world is his oyster. One of the best big men going around the country at the moment. Tommy Knight, thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Once again, big thanks to my guest, Tommy Knight. Thank you so much for coming on, mate, especially on this week where everyone was busy and we're just coming off Easter break and all of that jazz. And after night one of NXT TakeOver, especially because we've been talking to each other through the day after the match sort of thing and trying to tee up the time to talk and all of that sort of thing. So really big thank you for coming on, mate. follow him on all his socials, his Instagram, his Twitter is all Tommy Knight 1995. Go and follow him on that. His Facebook, just look up Tommy Knight, you'll find him there and follow him. So you'll know whatever's happening in his career, whether it being at Wrestle Rampage, MCW, Deathmatch Down Under. If he makes a trip up here to Queensland, you'll find it, you'll know, you'll be able to get out there and see his shows. If you haven't already, guys, though, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's Wrestle Radio Australia, that's us. It's free, you can do it on Stitcher, iTunes. I say iTunes every fucking time. It's Apple Podcasts now. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, of course. We're here on YouTube for the video version of this. If you do go to Apple Pods, make sure you give us a rating review there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears, share the show, and spread the word about professional wrestling in this country like we do every week here on the show. Make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU and Instagram on Wrestle Radio AU. I'm also on Twitter at Beast Eastman if you want old man takes on wrestling. If you want to support the local industry, please do subscribe to one of the one or as many as you can of the subscription services out there. Of course, you've got PWA is going to be doing all their shows live on Fight. So if you can, and if you want to see those shows, please do go and support them. PCW putting stuff up on Fight, go over there. You've got the Australian Wrestling Network, that stuff's there too. PCW are online as well with that streaming service, I believe. RCW are on YouTube. EPW have their own service. Wrestle Rampage also have their own service as well. Go out and support them if you can. If you want to find out more about these guys, especially if you want to find out more about Tommy Knight, go on Wrestle Rampage. Just go to their Facebook page. I'm sure they'll direct you to their Vimeo. Go to that, purchase their shows, have a check out. Check it out what they're doing down there in South Australia. Wrestler merch, I say it every week, guys. If you want to support the wrestlers themselves, wrestler merch is probably the best way of doing it. Aside from going to a show and buying their merch, the best way that you can do it is going to wrestlermerch.com, pick out a shirt that you want from one of your favorite wrestlers, buy it, wear it, promote the guys, promote the country. Because that what we're doing at the moment, we have the biggest opportunity that I think we've ever had. And that is, we are one of the only countries right now that are open for business. And we're one of the only countries right now that can put on pretty much unrestricted shows. So let's embrace that while we can. Let's take this advantage while we can and really put a stamp on this country to say, we are here. We are a power in professional wrestling. No real way of supporting the show as such. You can go to Redbubble.com and just search out Wrestle Radio Australia. I've got some designs up there. Anything you buy from that, though, I don't take any of the profits. All the profits go to charities that I really do support. That's Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. So if you know anything about the show, you know we really do support men's health and mental health and all of that jazz. All that stuff that's surrounding that, we really do support here at the show, and we want to support it as much as we can. That's why we donate anything we make from Redbubble to that. Until next week, I'm not too sure who the guest is as of yet, because again, WrestleMania week, I've been pretty busy. Let's face it, I'll pulling back the curtains. I've been on holidays from my shoot job, so I've been lazy as shit, to be honest with you. I've just been watching wrestling, playing the PlayStation, and relaxing. It's a hard life, but you know, someone's got to do it. Not too sure who the guest is going to be next week, but hopefully we'll have one. Yeah, who knows? But until then, my name's Todd Eastman. We'll see you next week right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Go Demi. Yeah, Rhea. Yeah. 23, got me feeling way too sweet. Too sweet, too sweet. Put your fangs up. Too sweet, too sweet. Pour another cup. Let's be busy 23.